At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
It's Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, my co-host, as has been the case for most of these offseason episodes, Brian Johnson. Hey,
What's up, Charge? Happy 4th of July
weekend. I love the 4th of July weekend.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
I had a sense we were just talking off air about it. And
yeah. Well, Minnesota's a very unique case, and I don't want to bore people with too much Minnesota-centric stuff, but in Minnesota, like half the population owns a cabin in the north half of Minnesota,
right,
where
or
all
they know,
the lakes
or
are.
Or they know someone who...
Or know somebody, right. So much of the Twin Cities just empties to the north, and
yes.
I love being in town where there's no traffic. The restaurants aren't crowded. Yep. The movie theaters aren't crowded. Everything I want to do has got less people in it.
We are in lockstep there. Love
it. Yeah, that part is fantastic.
Going up north, way too much riffraff. I just hate fireworks. I'm not like the big organized ones. You want to go sit in traffic and walk out to the field or the Brit? Fine.
You're not interested in the firecracker, the Roman candle,
the people
or
who
the,
cross the border. For those who don't know, in Wisconsin, you can buy the real deal. Well,
yeah.
I hate the good stuff, especially people that are lighting them off at 2 a.m.
Yeah, you got to be thoughtful. You got to be thoughtful about that stuff. But what if it's 10 o'clock on the 4th of July? Game on. I mean, that's your problem, not theirs at that time.
They're breaking the law.
No, they're not.
Aren't they?
No.
If they're bringing
it's not
back
against the law to shoot off fireworks. Well, you just have to
Wisconsin
be sensible
ones,
about when you do it.
Those things are like weapons of mass destruction.
Bring it on, baby. I love that stuff.
Oh, man.
I love it. Now, I'll tell you what I don't like.
I cannot wait until the 5th of July.
Here's what I don't like about fireworks, and it's the only thing for me. Is I am one of those people that mosquitoes love me. They've got my scent. I've got the blood type they love. And so if you're outside watching some big fireworks thing, the mosquitoes find me first. And I can't, you know, in the 20 minutes it takes to get through the whole fireworks display regimen, I've got like 40 mosquito bites. And I'm not kidding. I mean, just it's like every few seconds I'm getting a bite.
I love the people that take pictures or videos of the fireworks. Like, you're ever going to go back and look at them?
Yeah, right.
Like,
it just doesn't work.
Check out this picture of this firework.
No.
You really had to be there, but...
Yeah. It's like concerts. It's like the people who film the concerts. It doesn't work that way.
Just enjoy the moment with your eyeballs.
Exactly. Because it's not going to translate, and it won't mean... It's like one-tenth as good later.
All right, let's
talk about
Minnesota.
Football.
Yeah.
Hey, let's break down the off seasons and the forecasting for the NFC North and the AFC North.
We're going to close it out, right?
Yeah, so we've already done all the other divisions, and these are our last divisions to do, the Norths, which also, I think the key part of this, in addition to just getting up to speed on some of the key offseason moves, is really identifying the players that are getting drafted wrong right now based on current ADP. And... Why don't we start in, I don't know, want to do Green Bay?
Sure. I think that is you.
Oh, that is right? Me. Yeah. How about Detroit?
Yeah, we can go to Detroit.
All right, let's go to Detroit. They're the favorite by a mile. They're the Vegas favorite to win the
division. Yeah, the NFC North, but wide open in my opinion. But yes, Detroit are the favorites. Those are the times we are living in. It's kind of crazy. The Lions also, one of the teams with the most turnover on offense. this offseason. Major moves in their backfield. Jamal Williams, last year's leading
touchdown leader, yep,
rusher, gone in New Orleans now. DeAndre Swift traded to the Eagles. So in comes David Montgomery to likely assume the Jamal Williams role. Yep. And they drafted rookie Jahmyr Gibbs with the 13th overall pick for like 12, major draft capital sunk into Gibbs, who's expected to play this hybrid running back receiver role. We'll see how that pans out, but it's really going to be a Montgomery with the early down work, it looks like, and Gibbs, he'll play most downs, but certainly the third down specialist, you would think, coming out of the backfield. At wide receiver, DJ Chark left via free agency. Back home comes Marvin Jones to the Lions.
What's left 40-year-old
Marvin Jones. Jameson Williams, not really an off-season move, but he made a move with his finger on his phone in the facility where he made a bet.
Yep.
And by
the
way, won.
If I recall, wasn't even in the facility. I think it was an away game hotel is where he placed the bet, and now he's out 6 weeks.
But that's considered, you know, like off, you know, that's like a traveling team.
Right.
But anyway, he'll miss the first 6 games. We'll talk about the wide receiver situation a little more in a minute or two. Lions also drafted tight end Sam Laporta out of Iowa in the second round. He's expected to be their starting tight end going into the season. And Hendon Hooker drafted to back up. Well, I don't know if he's not going to be the initial backup for Jared Goff, but he's an intriguing dynasty stash.
Stash, yeah. 2024 or 2025.
Definitely not this year. We won't expect much from Hooker. Will the offense be better or worse than last year? It was top five offense last year. I'm going to say about the same, but
could be better. Jahmyr Gibbs is a huge upgrade, potentially.
But the Jameson Williams suspension, granted, he missed a lot of last year, but he came on strong at the end of the year. You know, he was
strong. He had 8 catches on the year.
But he'll miss the first 6 games. But it's not going to get any worse, we'll put it that way. I think it's going to – I'll go with better, but it's not going to get worse, even though there's a lot of changes on that offense. To me, the most underdrafted player right now is David Montgomery.
Agreed.
At running back 26, 84th overall. I mean, Jamal Williams, 17 touchdowns last year, and it's not like Montgomery's automatically slated for 17 touchdowns.
Well, no, he won't get 17.
But he's going to – he should get double-digit touchdowns.
But even if he gets roughly half that, so you put him on 9, that's a touchdown every other game for Montgomery.
At running back 26, I'll take that all day. And Jahmyr Gibbs, the most overdrafted to me, at running back 14 – going 41st overall, you're getting, you know, a 50% discount on Montgomery, who I suspect is going to score more touchdowns, total more yards.
I don't agree with you on the yards at all, but I'm with you on the touchdowns. And Gibbs, what worries me about Gibbs is there's a real path for Gibbs to have like a 5-touchdown season.
Yeah.
Like DeAndre Swift, right? Where he's not going to get goal line work. He needs to score from distance, which he'll do a few times. You know, Gibbs is going to be a guy that's going to roll up, and he'll have a couple of long runs or whatever, but he's going to roll up, 5-ish catches a game for 40 yards. So he's going to get you like 9 fantasy points right there.
More value in full PPR for sure.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Half PPR, dings, standard, big ding.
Right.
On that ADP. It's too much.
I'm with you. I just don't think the touchdowns are going to be there for Gibbs to get all the way up to be running back 14, but I do think that's in a full PPR. Running back 14 to me isn't far off of where he should be.
No, not in full PPR, no.
Now let's go to the Vikings.
Okay.
Offseason moves that matter for the Vikings. They released Adam Thielen, replaced him with first-round pick Jordan Addison. Thielen, by many metrics, took a big step backwards last year, including his cushion rate, his separation rate, yards after catch. I mean, just a lot of things that really suggested Thielen was at the end of a very good career. And then, of course, they released Dalvin Cook outright, and they replaced him with nobody new, but did re-sign Alexander Mattison to a 2-year deal. We'll talk more about him in a few minutes. This offense will trend similar to last year when the Vikings finished 8th in points, 6th in yards. Dalvin Cook wasn't great anymore last year, but the overall running back depth chart takes a step back clearly without Dalvin Cook. The passing game is going to miss the sure hands of Thielen, but they gained the big play threat of a young Jordan Addison, which is very exciting. Kirk Cousins will be 35 this season. Maybe this is the season where he starts to show his age, but we didn't see really any signs of that last year. He looked very much last year like the quarterback he had been for the past several years. And So Kirk still seems like a very safe, bankable guy. So I think this team trends about the same as last year.
Yeah, Cousins isn't a guy that I'm concerned about age.
No, him. It doesn't feel like it, does it?
No. Like, when we get into his late 30s, he feels like a guy who's going to play until he's 40. Like, yeah, I don't know. He's not a mobile quarterback, so we're not really relying on athleticism.
Nope.
But, he's been very reliable in his career so far.
So the most overdrafted player, I think, is Alexander Mattison. Going off the board at running back 19, 61st overall. And he certainly enters training camp atop the depth chart at the running back position. But this is way more of an open battle than people realize. Alexander Mattison is a lackluster runner by many different metrics. He is, as they say, he's a jag. He is just a guy. He's got subpar vision. He's not very good laterally. He's a mediocre receiver. The burst is not particularly notable. There's a lot of things about his game that I find to be very, very average. And I see Mattison as the most likely week one starter. But if he doesn't really produce, I think Kevin O'Connell's going to start working in some of the depth chart guys like Ty Chandler and maybe Dwayne McBride, who they took late in the draft. So yeah,
I think a lot of teams are going to be mixing in three running backs, and the Vikings are certainly one of them. Yeah, people are just assuming Madison's just going to get 80% of the touches.
Yeah, that he's just going to take Dalvin Cook's touches.
I'll believe it when I see it, but
maybe.
I'm not thinking that either.
The most underdrafted player related to Madison, Ty Chandler. You can get him basically free. He's going off the board at pick 201.
Yep.
He splashed last year in the preseason, but couldn't get on the field ahead of Cook and Madison, but Cook's gone. And now Ty Chandler's a sophomore and has the potential to get a lot better. He's the best pass catcher among Viking running backs, and he is a big play home run hitter, going off the board at running back 61 right now. So you got a lot of opportunity with Ty Chandler as a last pick of your draft dart throw, and he might just turn out to inherit that job from Alexander Mattison at some point, maybe early in the season.
Yeah, I've been drafting a lot of Ty Chandler.
Let's talk about the Chicago Bears, Brian.
The Bears. A lot of moves in the offseason, not a ton of exciting moves. The most exciting move was they traded the first overall pick to the Panthers for a package including DJ Moore, who's... Mm-hmm. Arguably the best wide receiver in Bears history already.
Wow, that's a great question, actually.
Except Bernard Berry in that one year.
Oh, yeah. Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall had a couple
of
really
good
years.
But there really hasn't been a ton to talk about the wide receiver position. No. So, DJ Moore will definitely bolster that pass attack. The Bears also signed former Panther Dante Foreman. He was in part of that trade to a one-year deal. We mentioned David Montgomery gone from Chicago. So he will compete for touches with Khalil Herbert, who's already in town. And the Bears also drafted running back Roschon Johnson out of Texas in the fourth round, a guy we like a lot. We know our good buddy Thor loves him. Johnson backed up Bijan Robinson at Texas. And if he wasn't Bijan's backup, you know, played somewhere else, he might have gone a lot higher in the draft. So...
Yeah, you know, I've watched a bunch of Roschon Johnson in preparation for the draft, and I walked away a lot less impressed than Thor is, but Thor watches a lot more college football than I do, and so I'm willing to kind of give Thor the benefit of the doubt here. He thinks Roschon is just going to bury Khalil, but I'm...
And Foreman.
And Foreman, he's not even in this conversation. So, but I'm just, I don't know if I feel as confident about that.
Well, whoever ends up... Well, for all the running backs involved, another notable, not move, but draft pick, the Bears got the 10th overall pick among many other picks for trading the first overall pick, and they took offensive tackle Darnell Wright.
Love it.
With that pick. So, yeah, that's great for their line, and I guess it's worth mentioning tight end Robert Tonyan, also acquired via free agency, but Cole Kmet is
Cole
the starter.
Your starter.
The offense should be better this year with the addition of DJ Moore. The offensive coordinator's name is slipping my mind. It's his second year. It's basically everyone's second year in the coaching staff going in. More weapons, better O-line. So the offense should be better under Justin Fields. The most underdrafted player by ADP. I was tempted to go with the cheapest running back, who is Foreman. You think he's dust?
I don't know.
They brought him in for a reason.
No, they also drafted Roschon Johnson for a reason.
I'm out on this entire backfield now. I was on the Roschon train. Mm-hmm. I was taking my chances there. But, of course, he's not the clear-cut starter. Doesn't have a clear-cut path. He's going to compete with Herbert and Foreman a little bit in my mind. Mm-hmm. And Justin Fields is going to take some high-quality touches or carries in that offense too. Yep. So I'm out on this backfield. So I'm going to go wide receiver for the most underdrafted player. No, it's not Chase Claypool, who they're not happy with, shockingly.
Yeah.
Awful trade, by the way.
Really bad trade.
They
second
made last
rounder.
Year, yeah, or the yeah. last pick in the first round. Same thing. Yeah, awful trade. But it's Darnell Mooney. And it's more of a best ball angle here. But right now at wide receiver 58, 126th overall. He was getting drafted inside the top 24 wide receivers last year. People were expecting a lot of things. But he got injured almost like halfway through the year. It was just a bad year for him. But the addition of DJ Moore should help him. Rising tide lifts all boats.
He's not a number one. Getting number one coverage last year. Now Mooney's going to get number two coverage. He'll run out of the slot a lot more often. I think there's reason to think Mooney could be a periodic, you know, right matchup contributor.
Yeah, he'll have his spike weeks, and he'll be matchup based for sure. He'll be a take a chance on me player this season, without a doubt. And the most overdrafted player, it's tough. I'm just gonna go with DJ Moore, wide receiver 26. I just looking in that range overall. Let me pull it up real quick.
I'm gonna guess like Mike Evans is in that ballpark. Trying to think other guys that might be in that range.
Christian Kirk is going after him. Brandon Ayuk, we were high on him. Chris Godwin.
These are all guys I'd rather have.
Jackson Smith and Jigba, Tyler Lockett. Yes, I'd rather have all of them over DJ Moore. So he's my most overdrafted bear.
And he's gonna be okay.
Yeah,
and Justin Herbert throws a nice deep ball, and he's gonna have some big downfield plays. Justin Fields, but he may not be as consistent as wide receiver 26 would suggest. Let's move over to Green Bay. That's our last NFC North team. The offseason moves that matter really aren't very many, other than obviously you know that Aaron Rodgers left, and he took Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, and Robert Tonyan are all gone too. He took Cobb and Lazard with him. The entire passing game has been really revised here, including new starters at quarterback, Jordan Love, wide receiver Jaden Reed taken in the second round. That was a little earlier than people expected. Yeah. And then they drafted the two tight ends, and this is a bit of an issue for fantasy owners to try to work their way through. Luke Musgrave in round two, and then we assumed that would be it. Then round three, Tucker Kraft. And really, both guys are capable pass catchers, and it makes this thing super thorny for fantasy owners.
Eerily reminiscent of when the Ravens took Hayden Hurst in the first round,
and then Mark Andrews in the third or something. Yeah,
I like Kraft a little more than Musgrave. I know you might get into that later.
I do like Kraft, and I'm not going to get into that.
He's the he's the pass catcher. Like he doesn't block, so that's what we love in fantasy football. Musgrave's like the more well-rounded
guy,
tight end.
Yeah, right. So, right. Yep. Is this offense going to be worse or better than last year? I really struggled with this. I think they're going to be a little better, even with the downgrade. Presumed downgrade from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, but Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing that well.
I love the Packers this year. I know this is going to anger our Minnesota base, but this is not reality football. They're all so cheap.
They are cheap.
And I think Love is going to shock a lot of people. I don't know.
Competency?
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. I watched Jordan Love's one full game from two seasons ago, and he was awful. But there were a lot of things working against him in that. He didn't know he was going to start until Friday. Wasn't taking first team reps. You know, there were lots of things that went wrong with that game. I think Love's going to be okay. And we'll talk more about parts of this offense here in a minute or two. Let's talk about the most overdrafted player. And I really struggled with this. I think mostly all the Packers are going to be had cheaply right now. So I just went with basically the first player being taken. And that's Christian Watson.
I guess he is going before Aaron Jones, which is kind of nuts. Yeah,
he's going at wide receiver 19, pick 38. And I'm intrigued by his upside, right? So the problem for me is not Christian Watson. It's the ADP. There's no discount being built into his ADP, despite the fact that he's got the change of quarterback and so much of his production coming on so few plays. Let me ask you this, Brian. Does any player in all of fantasy football this year have more upside and downside than Christian Watson?
Probably, but he's in the top five.
I mean, you know, we're extrapolating 41 catches from last year, his rookie year. 41, in which he managed to score 9 times.
And it's got to be there somewhere.
Nine times.
There's Mooney.
Nine times.
Hey, another Mooney.
Absolutely. So Yeah, it was seven catches and two rushing touchdowns, I believe. So,
and don't forget, I know you remember week one against the Vikings,
first touchdown play
on offense.
That's right.
Dropped an 80-yard touchdown.
That's right.
That was right in the breadbasket.
That's right. His nine scores came in a 4-game stretch. I mean, we're extrapolating, like, for wide receiver 19 to make sense for Christian Watson, you're really taking that 4-game stretch and going, well, I'm going to bank on something like that happening for a lot of this season. And I don't know if that's fair to say. Jordan Love might suck. Maybe he gets better as a sophomore, or maybe he doesn't. Christian Watson does not look like a route running technician, Brian. He just doesn't to me. He looks like a guy who just runs fast and gets open sometimes. And, that can do things in the NFL, but it doesn't do it regularly. And then you factor in the injury stuff from his rookie year as well. So
yeah, he got his bell rung a couple times pretty good. Missed games with concussions issues, right?
Right. So Christian Watson, if you want to risk Christian Watson, totally cool with that. Just know you're not getting him at a discount. And then the underdrafted player, you got a couple of good options. Jaden Reed is going off the board as wide receiver 71. So you can get him very, very late. And he was a second-round pick. Or Romeo Doubs didn't do very much last year, but he's been the darling of OTAs and minicamps. You could bank on him having a better sophomore season, which is very possible. Either one of those guys, Doubs costs a little bit more, but not much. So those are the guys that I think make sense as underdrafted players. I don't think there's a lot of receiving production. There's a lot of receiving production up for grabs in this offense, mm-hmm. and both Reed and Doubs are possible guys for that. Let's take a quick break, Brian. When we come back, let's turn our attention to the AFC North and find out what we like about those teams. Hang on tight, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. Segment number two, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Chargian, Brian Johnson. GuillotineLeagues.com. We're open for business, baby. Get into a fresh, hot, new Guillotine League. 18 teams start the season. Every week, the low-scoring team gets cut. All the players go to the waiver wire, where it's pandemonium for all the rest of us as we bid on an entire roster's worth of players. All you have to do is not finish last. Never finish last. You win the whole thing. It's GuillotineLeagues.com. Private leagues for you and your friends between 8 and 18 teams. Public leagues if you want to play for prizes. GuillotineLeagues.com.
Our high-stakes Super Chop contests are filling up. 60 of 144 in the $50 right now. We ran at least three of those last year. So the high stakes, big money. I would get in all of them if I was allowed to play, but I am not.
You are not allowed to play. Great opportunity for those that want a little more upside, financial prizing upside. You can do that at GuillotineLeagues.com. Let's talk about the NFC, AFC North.
How about we start with the Bengals?
Do it.
The favorites.
Yeah, they are the favorites.
Off-season moves that matter. Longtime backup running back Samaje Perine signed with Denver. And the only notable addition to the backfield so far was drafting Chase Brown out of Illinois in the fifth round. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute or two. Tight end Hayden Hurst left for Carolina. He was replaced by Irv Smith on a one-year prove-it deal. If Irv can stay healthy.
I can tell you how that's going to go.
Yeah, I know. And really, people get excited. Like, tight ends, just they aren't really needed in Cincinnati. They got enough wide receivers there to, I don't know. Tight ends haven't done anything in Cincinnati since Tyler Eifert, and that was many, many years ago, and that was only for like a year or two. But not too excited about Irv Smith, but you can get him on the cheap if you're willing to go there. And lastly, the Bengals added to that wide receiver room I just mentioned, drafting Charlie Jones and Andre Iosivas. Iosivas. He's a little intriguing. They're both intriguing dynasty stashes. Andre out of Princeton, I believe, 6'4", like 220s. He's an intriguing prospect, but, you know, he's playing at Princeton, so he was
right.
The competition wasn't great. But, again, those are just late-round dynasty stashes. Will the offense be better or worse than last year? Got to go with better. Jamar Chase missed significant, I would call it significant time, 5-6 games last year. He stays healthy. I know there's Joe Mixon is, I think, as we speak, having some legal proceedings going on with his... We won't get into
Dude's cooked. I mean, that's the storyline of Joe Mixon to me is the unless there was an undisclosed injury of real significance to Joe Mixon, dude doesn't have it anymore. You know, the end for running backs comes fast. Why they didn't do more to backfill his position to me is mysterious, and maybe they have more confidence in him and they know why he didn't look good. But just the eye test last year, Brian, Joe Mixon looked plodding.
As of right now, he is the starter. He's not my most, we'll get to my most overdrafted player in a minute. We'll start with my most underdrafted player. And this is hard because, you know, you're not going to say Jamar Chase is underdrafted.
You can't because he's like third off the board.
They all seem to be going in the right spot. But I'm going with Joe Burrow. I mean, he's not going late, but he's going as quarterback 5, 45th overall, significantly later than the big three. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and Lamar Jackson. But he shouldn't be going three rounds later than the big three and a round later than LJax. He was one of three quarterbacks with at least six games with three-plus passing touchdowns last season. He was on his way to his seventh game in that Bengals game. They opened with a touchdown to T. Higgins, which had taken off the board, as did the whole game. So he lost a game there. Do you remember how many rushing touchdowns Burrow had last year? You want to take a guess?
Three.
Five.
Wow.
Fourth right. most among quarterbacks. Right. They don't want him to run. That's how he got hurt a couple years ago, but he can.
Yeah.
And I just think his instinct takes over for him and he takes off if he feels some pressure.
And he's another year off that ACL, and he's still young, so he's going to have a little bit of mobility. They're not going to, like, bootleg him from the 12.
But if needed, he's mobile, that's for sure. So I went with Joe Burrow. And my most overdrafted player, I was going to go Mixon. RB15, I don't know. He's not in his prime. I agree with you there. I don't know if he's fully cooked, but he appears like he's going to be the starting running back. So I'm okay with where he's at right now.
Joe Mixon could get to RB15, I think, Brian, just by being the starting running back for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Right. And if he might rekindle some of his good years, who knows? But he's not overdrafted in my mind where he's going right now. So I went with Chase Brown. I mean, he's going late, RB59, pick 192. But I don't know, the Bengals, as of right now, we still haven't had any of these big free agent running backs find a new home.
No, it's weird. Zeke's still out there. Kareem Hunt's still out there.
Dalvin Cook.
Fournette's never playing again.
I don't. You think so?
Nope, done.
I don't know about that.
Nobody wants him.
I've heard he's in pretty good shape, but everyone's in good
shape. Nobody wants him.
But I don't know. I just don't buy into Chase Brown being the number two or just being the guy if something would happen to Mixon. Someone's coming to town.
Right.
And so I'm just, not that you're, the 192nd overall pick, it's not the end of the world. You take Chase Brown, but I think there's something better, a better player you can draft with that spot.
Let's go to the Cleveland Browns. The offseason moves that matter. They added wide receiver Elijah Moore, who was on the outs with the Jets, and the Jets invested in other players at wide receiver. He likely starts as the slot receiver. And they also added rookie receiver Cedric Tillman in the third round. They lost. That was the only ads of note, really.
Quickly on Elijah Moore, who it was one of the best touchdown celebrations ever, and he got flagged for it in college when he did the dog. You know, he like lifted up his leg.
That's right.
But he can do that now because he'll be like in the dog pound in the end zone. So he shouldn't get flagged for
like that.
Peeing like a dog. So I hope he brings that back.
Just recognizing the fan base.
Exactly.
They lost quarterback Jacoby Brissett. They lost running back Kareem Hunt, running back D'Ernest Johnson, and replaced those runners with nobody. Jerome Ford is your backup to Nick Chubb. And Chubb, without D'Ernest Johnson, without Kareem Hunt, Chubb could be sitting on a career high in total touches for any one season that he's had so far.
Ford will work in. Ford has gone pre-draft, his ADP, free.
Yeah. Now he's running back 50.
Yeah, he's going like, oh, he's cracking, he's pushing the top 150.
Well, he's going off the board right now, 160, as a matter of fact. Yeah, he's my most underdrafted player, so we'll skip right to that right now.
Let's do it.
You get the undisputed backup to Nick Chubb when you draft Jerome Ford. Nick Chubb typically gets dinged up for, you know, at least a few games, and he probably gets mixed in a Kareem Hunt-like role this year. Now, Jerome Ford only had 8 rushes last year as a rookie. He was the team's primary kick returner, so he got some action there. So I went and looked at more of what Jerome Ford did in college.
Cincinnati, right?
Cincinnati, yeah. That's exactly right, where he set the all-time Cincinnati record with 19 touchdowns in his senior year. Now, he had started his college career at Alabama, couldn't get on the field, which is understandable there, so goes to Cincinnati, and all he does is lead the ACC in rushing. So, you know, the kid's got a little something, and he can catch a bit. He had 21 receptions as a senior, and you don't handle kick return duties unless you've got some hands. So Jerome Ford, I think, walks into that Kareem Hunt role, and Kareem Hunt over the last few years has generally taken off the board at like running back 35. Jerome Ford's running back 50.
Yeah, I loved Ford. I was drafting him a lot prior to the NFL draft last year, looking at his skill set in college, and it was just a brutal landing spot last year.
Yes.
In Cleveland.
Yes.
He was just buried behind 3 other guys, but now, yeah. There's no other, without a question, the most
underdrafted
still,
player.
Still, even though he's surging, it's still he's still too cheap.
Jerome Ford, by just running style, compact runner. He's a little shorter with what I found to be a very gritty running style and really good footwork. The footwork is the stuff that I really liked watching him at Cincinnati. This offense probably gets a little better because of the presumed improvement of Deshaun Watson, even though Watson was in every category a statistical downgrade from Jacoby Brissett, who was better for the first half of those games. I think it was week 11 or 12, where Deshaun Watson took over. And the Browns continue to have arguably the best offensive line in the league. So, you know, that is all great. That's all. I'll note this. Browns have the easiest schedule in the NFL. Hmm. So that will help based on last year's win percentage. The most overdrafted player to me, Deshaun Watson, going off the board at quarterback 9, 82nd overall. There's just not enough value baked into his ADP to offset the lackluster 6 games he played last year and his whole year away from the game in 2021. And sure, I get it. He was a top 5 fantasy quarterback in 2018, 2019, and 2020. Man, that feels like a long time ago, Brian.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. So here is Deshaun Watson in year 7 of his NFL career. 7, mind you. And what if, after 7 years, he's lost some of his rushing prowess? Because the way that Deshaun Watson was getting into the top 5 in 2018, 2019, and 2020 was because of his running. If he's not a dual threat quarterback, if you're just relying on his arm, in those years, 2018 to 2022, so, you know, in all 2018 to 2020, in those years, he passed for 26 touchdowns, 26 touchdowns, and 33 touchdowns. Those are David Carr numbers.
Yeah.
So ask yourself for this. In year 7, are you sure Deshaun Watson is a mobile quarterback who's going to get designed rushing plays from Kevin Stefanski, who has no history of doing that? Now, granted, he hasn't had that kind of quarterback, but do you know he's going to get the designed rushing usage that makes Deshaun Watson the 9th best quarterback in fantasy football?
Yeah, it's that price is too steep. I'd gladly wait. Basically, you can wait 2 rounds and get a Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones, Geno Smith.
Yep.
Take them 2 rounds later all day long over Deshaun Watson.
Let's go to Baltimore.
Baltimore. All right, off-season moves that matter. Todd, don't call me Art Monken, replaces Greg Roman as offensive coordinator, which is huge because Roman was run heavy. Todd Monken's an air raid disciple type guy, so we can expect a lot more passing in Baltimore, something that we basically never seen since they moved from Cleveland. It seems like they've always been a very run-heavy team, so should be exciting to see what newly acquired wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. can do. Signed a one-year deal, a massive one-year deal, by the way, like $15 million, a lot of money sunk into OBJ. We'll see how much gas he has left in the tank. And they also signed Nelson Aguilar. I'll make a quick mention of that, but he's easily fourth, fifth on the depth chart. Baltimore also drafted wide receiver Zay Flowers with the 22nd overall pick. He figures to work out of the slot for the most part with Beckham and Rashad Bateman working the outside. Will the offense be better or worse than last year? Got to go with better. J.K. Dobbins will be 2 years removed from major knee injury. We'll talk about him a little more in a second. And again, Todd Monken should just, you know, should be more
fast-paced
offense, more passing. So for fantasy purposes, we're going to go with better as the projection.
The question I think that in my mind is, all right, so is Lamar Jackson going to get as many rushes? You know, because that was a staple of Greg Roman's offense. And credit Greg Roman for unlocking that by making all these designed running plays for his quarterback when nobody was doing that. But I'm worried that Jackson's going to take a step back in terms of the designed running plays.
Yeah, I'm with you. There probably won't be as many designed running plays, but he'll still get his on broken plays. But yeah, he's gotten hurt in the past couple of years,
right. And now they got a massive financial investment that they need to keep healthy.
So yeah, I'm with you there. But again, if he makes up for it with an extra 10 passing touchdowns, we'll take that over losing a couple hundred rushing yards and a couple rushing touchdowns. My most underdrafted player, we've talked about him a lot, J.K. Dobbins, running back 18, 57th overall, just seems way too late. We were talking about Jahmyr Gibbs earlier going off the board at running back 14. I prefer Dobbins all day over Gibbs this year in any format, even full PPR. So you got to love Dobbins' prospects. 2 years removed from the ACL or MCL. I can't recall which CL it was. But he looked good towards the end of last year, even though they weren't giving him the ball enough, really. Yeah. And he was upset about that. So hopefully that squeaky wheel carries over into this season. And
well,
I think
his new squeaky wheel is J.K. Dobbins wants to get paid. I'm like, dude, you haven't done anything in 2 years. You've gotten hurt, and then you played hurt, and you've not done anything. Shut up and go play on the last year of your deal.
Well, hopefully he'll prove it. I think he will that, well, it's tough for any running back to get paid these days, right? But
it is.
I'm essentially all in on Dobbins at this price. I've been drafting him a ton. It just seems like too much of a value right now. Mm-hmm. And I think...
And by the way, I always throw Gus Edwards, inject Gus Edwards into these conversations whenever I can. Also, coming off the year off of ACL, he's free.
Yeah,
he's free, and you can, you know, and I still think there's something there.
He's underdrafted. Really, almost everyone is underdrafted on Baltimore. I don't really have an overdrafted player. I guess you kind of talked me into Lamar Jackson because I was just saying Joe Burrow was going underdrafted. He's going after Jackson, but I still love Lamar. But yeah, the design running probably does come down. I wanted to go with Odell Beckham, but he's not going like in the third, fourth round.
Beckham's, so people are being rational on where they're taking Beckham.
Yeah, and all the wide receivers are the other two, Bateman and Zay Flowers, round before round nine. So they're at a value. You're not going to argue against where Mark Andrews is getting drafted.
No.
Isaiah Likely was an underdrafted candidate too. He's going way too late. If something were to happen to Andrews, I mean, he's going to play wide receiver too, even when Andrews.
I know, but the problem is Zay Flowers is going to work out of the slot a lot, and that's where I wanted Isaiah Likely to be a stand-up slot.
But he's certainly not overdrafted. So again, really, no one is getting overdrafted for Baltimore. So I'll go with the most expensive guy, and that's Lamar Jackson.
It is, although I think Mark Andrews could be going ahead of him in some leagues. He is in guillotine leagues.
Yeah, in one quarterback. Well, in guillotine leagues, is he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Andrews is going in the second round of guillotine leagues because people have figured out you have to have a tight end.
Andrews is going before Jackson in one quarterback leagues, too. Non-guillotine.
Let's go to Pittsburgh. The offseason moves that matter are basically none because they did virtually nothing, and adding Allen Robinson does not count.
Hey.
Does not count.
We'll see.
Dude is so done.
I'm not.
Say they put a first rounder in the offensive line, which is awesome, Broderick Jones, and they also added longtime Eagles guard Isaac Seumalo. So that was a very nice gain for them. So I like what their offensive line, which we've dumped on the Steelers' offensive line for like 3 years now, it looks like it's finally been addressed to the point where it's not this massive glaring negative. So I think the offense will almost certainly get better because they ranked 23rd in yards and 26th in points last year. So I feel like they had almost nowhere to go but up. And Kenny Pickett, total wild card here. I did not like almost anything I saw from last year. How do you get 7 passing touchdowns in 14 games in this version of the NFL? That is leather helmet style production from Kenny Pickett. You figure, though, he'll regress to the mean in touchdowns and some touchdowns will come along. But I also didn't like his yards per attempt, 2nd shortest in the league. That's not good. We need downfield passing. The most underdrafted player by ADP, George Pickens. I'm really intrigued here, Brian. Wide receiver 40, 75th off the board. Who is the most talented receiver on this team? Is it clearly Deontay Johnson going at wide receiver 31? I don't think so. George Pickens in year 2, he had 800 yards as a rookie. And Deontay Johnson just is not a wide receiver 1. He is not built to be the focal point of a passing game. This team wants and needs George Pickens to be that guy. His 26% air yard share was huge because there's no other downfield threats on this team. When they want to go downfield, they got to go to Pickens. He had those incredible highlight catches you saw last year. I mean, that's not fluky stuff. Pickens has crazy catch radius and hands. He's already one of the best contested receivers in the league. Also an elite run blocker, which does not equal fantasy points, but it does keep you on the field.
And for those who don't know, Pickens was a rookie last year, could have been the first rookie or first wide receiver taken in last year's draft, but he got hurt in like spring ball at Georgia, and he came back for like the national championship game. So he essentially missed his whole senior year, but he'll be fully healthy going into this year.
So let me ask you this. So Kenny Pickett had 7 passing touchdowns last year. Let's say Kenny Pickett gets 20, which is still awful by the NFL standards, but let's just say he gets 20 touchdowns. Deontay Johnson had 0 last year. How many of those 20 go to George Pickens?
At least a third of them.
I mean, isn't he sitting on 8, 10 touchdowns almost automatically?
Well, 8 or 10, but 6 or 7.
I'll take
that with 1,000 yards.
I think so. The most overdrafted player by, you know, and you can tell by the way I'm talking about it, Deontay Johnson, and I know that he's coming off a 0 touchdowns season, so you're like, where was this last year? But he's just not the dude. And of course he's going to not score 0 touchdowns this year. But everybody, all the fantasy experts, Brian, are going, 144 targets and 0 touchdowns. Man, when he has 144 targets next year, you know, that number could be 8 touchdowns. He's going to regress to the mean. Well, guess what? He ain't getting 144 targets this year.
Probably not.
Deontay Johnson is not the number one receiver in Pittsburgh. It's George Pickens. Deontay Johnson is these short passes don't equal fantasy points. I see his target share dropping massively. Johnson reminds me of Jarvis Landry, an annual fantasy disappointment because of his painfully low air yards. And Deontay Johnson was 60th in ADOT among wide receivers, 53rd in yards per route run. He just doesn't get the ball downfield, and that's what you need out of your fantasy wide receivers. Deontay Johnson's dead to us.
Allen Robinson not dead to me. And when I say that, he's a last round dart throw these days, but he was getting open last year. Matthew Stafford just was not throwing to him for whatever reason.
Well, he had Cooper Kupp.
He got hurt.
Those two got hurt about the same time.
So, Allen Robinson, not dust yet. Sadly, Kenny Pickett might be the best quarterback he's played with because he didn't really get to play with Matt Stafford a whole lot last year.
Is that funny?
Was hurt. But
here's the thing. The Rams need another receiver, and they let him walk. They got him out of his contract so he could go elsewhere. They would have kept him because after Cooper Kupp, that depth chart falls apart in Los Angeles.
Yeah, they're also, you know, they're like quiet rebuilding, like quiet quitting, quiet rebuilding. My mind, I don't know. They need to get rid of Allen
Minnesota.
Robinson.
Yeah, I say the Vikings are doing a unspoken rebuild, which I believe they are right now. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can get all my player rankings and cheat sheets at guillotineleagues.com, and my basic cheat sheet is available for free. The premium one's only $10, and it's got tons of great data, useful for a guillotine league or not. And new mobile app coming very, very soon. We're doing our final bits of testing on it now, and we're going to launch that, and it is glorious. We encourage you to check that out, too. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.